Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rosini, our co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Very good. We want to talk about inflation today. You can't talk about inflation if you don't talk about the Fed. So the short answer to our problems that we're facing today is get rid of the Fed. And a lot of good things will come of it eventually anyway. But we've been messing around with the Fed, our country, since 1913, and they were supposed to give us a stable currency and a stable dollar and make sure there's full employment and make the world wonderful. But I think there's a lot of fiction going on, a lot of fake news out there when it comes to economic policies. And there's a big discussion going on right now about inflation and deflation and what's happening and what the policies ought to be and what the Fed ought to do and will the Fed survive. And I think that's a good debate because I think the Fed is under the gun and they deserve to be. And a lot of people are asking me now on the business programs, well, do you agree with Trump? He's always, criticizing the Fed, and you criticize the Fed, so do you agree? Yeah, I agree with criticizing the Fed, but I don't think my criticism is the same as the president. He has a different approach to this. So that's what we're facing today. And the one thing that I think our viewers probably know already, but I think it's an important point, is inflation isn't coming. It's here, and it's been here. And that's the reason we should think in terms of what is inflation. Is inflation measured by the government report of the CPI? Well, 99% of the people on television or more agree that CPI measures inflation. Even a lot of free market economists are technically wrong because they talk about inflation as the CPI, and yet that is secondary. Prices going up in different areas is a consequence of the inflation. The inflation is the increase of the money supply. And the great inflation, we have witnessed it with the QEs that went on with the $3.4 trillion of increase in money and all the money slushing around, and they don't know how to get out of this mess. This is the thing that the American people are concerned about, and hopefully we can offer some type of a correction for this.
It is strange, Dr. Paul. I mean, the Fed barely tapped the brakes and raised rates a measly 2%. And now, not only do they want the Fed to back off, they want to cut all the brake lines. Everybody wants printing. President Trump, you know the military does because they're constantly getting more and more money. Socialists are running around, falling all over each other, promising free this, free that. With a government that's $22 trillion in debt, isn't that odd? I mean, how can they possibly do this? You can't tax everyone to pay for all this stuff. That's out of the question. But everybody believes that you can just print money, and the consequences are going to be dire.
Yes, and there's a lot of measurements for the monetary inflation, because this is not a new phenomenon. It's been around for a long time. Ancient Rome did it, and so we know a lot about debasing the currency. Back then it was, back then it was literally diluting the metals. And Chris, go ahead and take us for a moment.
Yeah, I know the feeling, Dr. Paul. The second thing that I was going to tell our viewers is that there's a tendency to defer to authority. Are you back, Dr. Paul?
I'm fine. Go ahead.
Okay.
There's a tendency to
defer to authority. Ah, they'll figure this out. Their money's on the line too. But you know what? They're not going to figure it out. The Soviets didn't figure it out. They were a superpower with tens of thousands of nuclear weapons. And, you know, I jotted down a quote that always stuck with me, and it was from Lech Walesa, and I'd like to read it. He said, "I had conversations with all the powerful people in the world, presidents, prime ministers, and none of them believed that there was any chance of toppling communism before 2000. I didn't meet a single person in the entire world." And, you know, you could go back to our financial crisis in 2008. Could you imagine going into Bear Stearns or Lehman Brothers a year before and saying, you know, you're going to be boarding this place up? They would have looked at you like you were crazy. But it doesn't matter. A scam is a scam, whether it's gigantic or whether it's small. And that's why we need to move from this fiat money system to sound money.
And what I was getting into a little while ago was that this is something that's been going on for a long time. And throughout history, the best measurement of the value of a currency has always been the price of gold. But it's really not the price of gold. Gold is just reflecting the devaluation of the currency. And there's a lot of that going on because when the Fed took over, the ratio was $35 to an ounce of gold, and today it's $1,500 to an ounce of gold. And that is a lot of devaluation. And when the markets get distorted by a lot of fiat money, a lot of printing, and a lot of debt, that the market becomes stronger than the money managers. And that's what we're witnessing. The market is overriding the Federal Reserve. The market is always demanding a correction. They want liquidation of debt and malinvestment. But politicians can't stand that. They can correct it to some degree, and that's when they can get out of a milder recession, but eventually they can't get out of it. And what's going on today, they're not getting out of it. And this idea that, well, we've had economic growth for 10 years, greatest economic period of growth forever, and yet it's only been 3 or 4 years that they've seen some statistics improving. But the last time the GDP was over 3% was 2003. So we've been in the doldrums for a long time. And if you take the amount of money printed, which does not create wealth, and look at that and the amount of debt is created, that's where the so-called GDP is. So even the GDP of 2% or so is just fictitious too, because that is just measuring what government spends and how much debt there is, and people come up short. But the big political issue is some people suffer more than others, and the people who suffer price increases, it's a very bad problem, and then that contributes to the malinvestment. It goes in different places, and some groups benefit, and the rich benefit because they get the money first over the poor people who get it last, and they get hit. And that is what we're hearing. This is why in the midst of these statistics that we've heard so much frequently is, unemployment rate is very low, and there's no inflation. We're trying to get the inflation up to 2%. But why is there more talk now than ever about, well, the solution we have is socialism? Under many other circumstances, they're just laughed at. Unfortunately, today they get too much attention, but I think maybe it's because they have a real beef. There's something wrong with the economy, but they don't look in the right places for where the problem is, and they don't look in the right places for the solution. And that is, it comes from the Fed. And as long as this happens, what are they going to say? The big argument now is, how much lower the interest rates have to go? And we're not going to want them to mess around again with a 0.25 decrease. We need a half point or a whole point, as if just crank it out and everybody is going to be happy. But what if it doesn't represent wealth? What if it represents debt? What if it represents unemployment coming from people who can't understand the problems, and that the old-fashioned type of recession where the government has to admit it will be coming? And then if they don't have many tools right now when interest rates are very low, and how much lower can they go, it's going to be much tougher. That's why the people who are really under the gun are the Federal Reserve and their officials, and they deserve to be, because it offers an opportunity for us who criticize the Fed to say, look at this, it's been unsuccessful. It doesn't do the trick. So don't let people fall back on it. But then if you go back one more step, why do they do it? Well, it's not because a couple guys got together and say, well, we're running this monetary system this way. They're doing it because it coincides with people who demand it. You know, welfare, warfare. We need war. We need a military machine. We need the military industrial complex. And we need to take care of everybody's needs. And we can, play this game of just passing this money out and pretend it is wealth. But it's not working. People are starting to realize, and we're at a point now where something else has to be offered.
Yes, and you made a good point earlier there, Dr. Paul, about gold. I mean, it's no surprise to us or to anybody watching the show, I hope, that gold is reacting appropriately. You know, gold has been money for 6,000 years. It's not an accident. Think of how many civilizations and empires have come and gone, and yet people return to gold. And what a shame that in America, while everybody is pushing for more credit, more printing, across the world, Russia, China, they're accumulating gold hand over fist because they don't trust. Why would they trust long term about what's happening with the dollar?
Right.
And we also have to think about how the media treats gold, how they've always treated it. You know, they're an arm of the government, so they want Americans to ignore it. It's just a pile of rocks is what they've told us. But gold is proving otherwise, as usual, that it is still the ultimate money.
You know, I look at the headlines and how the news reports what's going on and the immediate reactions to some of these economic pronouncements. But there was one the other day that I think is typical representative of people who don't understand what's going on. The article says gold prices off their highs. So gold prices actually dropped a little. And it did because the CPI was said to be rising faster than it should. You know, ordinarily, what's going on, if prices start to rise, that means the money is shifting, maybe from the bond markets and other places that's coming out, and they're pushing up prices, and there's more price inflation, and that means more gold prices are going to go up, and you'd invest in gold. But for this 24 hours or so, they thought, oh, well, the CPI is going up, so therefore, tomorrow, the government isn't going to print as much money because they'll have to deal with inflation. But that's just superficial. It's temporary. But it means they don't think in terms of monetary policy in a proper manner. But, you know, recently they have admitted, in this past week, I heard a couple of the politicians admit, you know what, we got over 2% inflation rate, which is literally evil to deliberately have a policy that say we're going to steal the value of your money at least at 2%, and usually it's always much better. But they admitted that it was even over 3% at the current rate, if it continues, that the inflation rate. But the urging was that means they'll be tempted to not lower the interest rates. And the warning is, don't do it. This is still bad. We can tolerate a lot more inflation, you know, 3 or 4%. But before this is all over, the great inflation will be much, much worse, because literally the great inflation has already occurred. It's out there. It's just trying to work its way out. The great inflation were the QEs. You know, it was these trillions of dollars that were created out of thin air, and they're sitting around there, and they're buying bonds, and then people want bonds, the price goes up and the interest rates go down. But it never gets into the marketplace. It never gets into really helping people. And this is the reason that this inflation, which started in 2007 and stopped in 2013, the QEs, it's still there. It hasn't gone away. And the balance sheet for the Fed is very, very high. And the psychology is, if we get into trouble, the Fed is even going to create more. They will already start. They're starting to talk about QE again. Oh, well, if the interest rates go too low, we can buy up anything, and they'll be back buying bonds. They will keep monetizing debt. But what they won't admit to is it's self-limiting. It will limit. And I think that day is coming. The Federal Reserve and management are managing our money. They've been a total disaster. You know, the first thing they did in 1913 was finance the World War I, and they inflated. But what was the first thing they did in the Depression? They took the gold away so they can have unlimited printed. People weren't even allowed to own gold in this country. And that gold was, when they took over the gold, they went from $20 an ounce up to $35 an ounce to allow the government to print more money. And that lasted all the way up until 1971. Americans weren't allowed to own gold, but foreigners were. But even by 1971, it still wasn't enough ability to inflate the paper money. So they closed the gold window, said, even foreigners have to take a loss on this. You don't get your gold anymore. And so what happened after 1971, gold went from $35 an ounce quickly after over 10 years up to $800. Too fast, too much too fast, and it had to correct, it had to adjust. But even by the year 2000, gold was $270 an ounce, a lot more than $35 an ounce, but it was just the beginning of a new century, and it was just the beginning of massive inflation and constant war. So it went from $270 up to $1,800. Of course, then that was too much too fast, and it went down to $1,000. In 2016, it was just a little over $1,000. And I believe that we're in a current upswing in the gold price since 2016, because it went from a little over 1,000 now up to $1,500. And I think that is just the beginning. So the great inflation is locked in place. They've already started. There's no sign whatsoever of the Fed ever cutting back, because there's no sign that you can find 10 politicians in Washington who are able to vote to cut spending. And the truth is, you cut spending right now, there are immediate victims. It is true. That happens. The people who are seeing the military-industrial complex, they're going to be very unhappy. People who get foreign aid, they're going to be unhappy. But people who get domestic welfare, they're going to be unhappy. And so it's not going to happen. So this great inflation is going to get greater and greater. And the market is going to become more powerful than the Federal Reserve. And it always happens. Ultimately, the market is more powerful than the government managements. And they're going to eventually have to accept the fact that there will be liquidation of debt. Individuals can liquidate debt by declaring bankruptcy or backing off on their spending and working harder, get two jobs, and liquidate debt. That doesn't happen with a country, and it certainly doesn't happen with a country that has the reserve currency of the world. And that's what we have. So we have license to steal. We have license to print and pass out. So other countries around the world that have depended on our dollars, they're in worse shape than we are. So we can't go buy euros and Japanese yen and these other currencies, because they're in worse shape. But the liquidation of debt will occur. They can't stop it, because there's too much debt, and there's too much confusion on who owns the debt, and there's going to be too much social conflict over this. There's going to be a lot. People are going to get angrier and angrier, and that is why what's happening politically is very serious, because socialism shouldn't be getting this much attention in this age where, you know, we've had a good standard of living, but they're giving credit to the wrong things. They're not saying, they would like to say, see, we have free market capitalism, and that's why we're doing so much better than everybody else. No, we got to print the money. We're the counterfeiter. Counterfeiters can be very wealthy and get away with a lot. So the counterfeiting days are coming to an end. The great inflation is in motion. And it's going to get worse, because within a year or less, they're going to try to solve this problem. Guess how? With more inflation, print more money faster. But it's not going to work. So people need to wake up, and they do need to start planning on how to protect against that. We can't get into that in this program. Hopefully I can do that on a program later on. How do you protect against this? Because we're not going to get rid of the Fed, and they're going to keep spending, and things are going to become chaotic. And there's a lot of questions asked. How does an individual protect, you know, their assets and their livelihood, especially when there's a greater attack, you know, on private owners who want to protect their life, attack on their gun ownership? Because, yes, they take the gold, and they'll do it again. And now there's really a strong effort to blame all the violence, you know, that's going on in the cities, which is minuscule compared to the violence we commit overseas. And they're saying, well, we have to do is we have to just take the guns away from everybody. And look at what they've done to us at airports. So that's not good. But there's still people who know, and I still believe long term we're okay, because a lot more people are waking up, and there will be an awakening when this gets that much worse. People are going to have. I hope so, and that's what I'm working for. People wake up and say, well, it's liberty that we need. We don't need more government spending and all this fiction and believing that printing money is wealth. So it is a real challenge, and this is a warning to as many people as possible that the current system isn't working. It's going to get much worse, and look into the details on what you can do to best protect you and your family. Chris, do you have some closing words?
Yes, Dr. Paul, just my last thoughts are, as dire as this situation is, there is a silver lining. We live in a hyper-connected world, which has never existed, that we can speak to so many people technologically. And it goes both ways. There's a lot of nutty ideas out there, and they catch on real fast, but good ideas will catch on fast too. And so we all have to just, in our own spheres of influence, reach as many people as we can, and not fall for the mentality of power, which is to look for a great leader with a central plan. Liberty is decentralized. There is no great leader outside of yourself, and there is no central plan other than what inspires you on how to get the message across. So we could usher in sound money one by one, one video at a time, one email at a time, whatever it takes to make it happen.
Well said, and the message of liberty is a powerful message. I don't believe anything changes in Washington or any place else without having established moral principle and that people follow that. It doesn't happen by somebody passing a new law. We won't get rid of the Fed by just getting 10 more congressmen up there that's going to vote against the Federal Reserve or get the audit done. That is not it. We need audits. We need to know about it. We need to talk about a new currency or an old currency like gold. But it's not going to come without some people who are in the business of talking about philosophy. And we have a good history. I mean, the founders understood inflation. They understood the evils of big government. So I think that is out there. And I talk to a lot of young people. And believe me, they're not all that you hear about on TV and how much trouble they are. I think that a lot of them are very much involved. They know what's going on, and they know that they'd much rather live in a truly free society than in one that pretends to be a free society. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.